Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the August 2nd edition of Commodity Week. August is Crop Production Month. We'll ask what our panelists believe USDA will tell us about the size of the corn and soybean crop today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services from Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today include Ellen Dearden at Ag Review in Morton, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Swicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's take up this question as we begin our discussion. Ellen Dearden, we'll start with you first. What do you suppose the trade has been thinking about the marketplace over the last 2 weeks, and whether end users have been able to take enough advantage of the lower prices to put corn in the bin in order to get through the harvest time?
When I first look at the market, I have to preface it with we had extremely strong basis, and then on the decline, basis weakened. I think on the strong basis, end users bought 2 to 3 weeks out, and that's all. And on this decline, I don't think they were able to scare up very many bushels on the downside. That's why we saw end users, particularly on the corn side, bounce that basis back up. I do not believe they're very well covered in this time frame. However, on the flip side, imports are going to be moving into the Midwest.
Is imports from the Delta or imports from
Brazil? Both. From the Midwest, they're coming from the South, however.
Yeah, I think I would totally agree with Ellen's analysis there as far as the basis levels. I think we got to a point with stronger bases where the end users couldn't buy the corn, so they weakened bases and did buy some corn, and the weaker futures along with it bought more corn than the stronger levels did. I don't think they're very well covered. How much they can get in, when you look at it's probably what's on the books, because if you went out and tried to bring corn into the United States today, I mean, you're probably looking at 30 to 50 days out that you're going to get it here, which is going to be approximately a harvest anyhow. So I guess I see a situation where the end users will make pops to, you know, get bushels that they can find bought and then back off again.
Bill Mayer, of course, is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. Dan?
Well, I think one's amazed how much, or at least I was amazed how much cash corn and cash soybeans kind of came out of the farmer inventory starting in mid-July. They were all holding back. I don't know what it was, whether it was 5,000 bushel lots or 20,000 bushel lots. But the cash grain trade bought a lot of corn in that third week of July, last week of July. And I think it surprised them how much cash grain they were buying. And I think basically what that is was just a result that a lot of farmers, especially in the eastern corn belt, We're feeling much more comfortable with their crop prospects, and they decided to kind of take advantage of some of these strong basis levels there in mid-July to that third week of July. And then I think that started a break, and then all of a sudden the thing totally collapsed, and then you got some panic farmer selling coming into the market. And then it's basically a matter of time that the Delta inventory makes their way up to the Midwest. One of your bigger processors in the Midwest has rumored to have something like over 200 barges of corn or barges, empty barges, down here in the lower Miss, ready to load that up with corn and move that north. And as Ellie said, there's South American corn working its way into the world channels, and there's South American soybeans working their way into the American channels. So whatever the trade was worried about on this transition between old crop and new crop, I think it's been pretty well resolved. There's probably still a couple hitches here and there, but I think it's pretty well resolved.
Just one other point before we get off that subject, and I think that's that, you know, the situation now helps the buyer somewhat, because most elevators, if the farmer has it stored in commercial storage now or in their hands, then they've got the, you know, some kind of minimum or something coming up usually at the end of the month that kind of forces the issue a little bit. And I think that makes the advantage to the buyer.
Hey, Dan, I wanted to follow up on your thought real quickly. So it's all up, all done at this point. But you say they were surprised by it. Was it because the farmers had it stored on the farm at that point? How did it surprise them?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, that's where it mostly came from. I mean, your elevator groups kind of know how much they have in their elevator that's owned by farmers. And, you know, they pretty well count on that coming to them. It's very unusual that a farmer would take it out of one elevator and take it over to another elevator. But, no, it was coming in from on-farm storage, a little bit here and a little bit there. And, you know, at the end of the day, it amounted to much more grain than I think the average cash grain trader was thinking the farmer was going to let loose of.
So, Ellen, I want to follow up on this thought just a little bit with you as to where it came from, based on how much silver has been put on the ground in the last 5 years, how many grain bins have been put there. Surprised the market this year because they didn't realize that they had storage of last year's crop. I suppose because they thought it went in not great condition and it all came to town fairly early. But in the coming year, when we have this big crop, will they use those same bins and fill them up and hold it off the market for some time? And what does that mean to the marketplace?
Yeah, I think guys will hold crop off the market, particularly if we've got a wider basis, regular kind of a fall basis or wider going into harvest. Now, the bets would be off if we had a kind of a cool fall and maybe even an early frost or something along that line, and the crop doesn't dry down well. But I think ordinarily they'll put that in the bins first.
Does this give you any thought process about how the marketing should proceed then for a new crop if you've got unmarketed bushels, and everybody will?
Yeah, I think if you look around, I mean, there are some pretty decent fall, what would be normal fall basis levels. I mean, better than normal fall basis levels out there. So it kind of puts a farmer, just from a basis standpoint, in a decision making. But I think that early part of harvest, you may see some strong bids as, you know, they try to get the bins, the elevators try to get the bins filled up. So I guess from the standpoint of what we've been talking with clients, I think you probably have to go out there and look at some of these locations where you can lock in a pretty decent basis level, but don't get too aggressive, because I think you can possibly first couple of weeks of harvest have some chance to maybe move some corn at better levels than that.
Now I want to get a number from each of you on the size of the supply, and then Dan, I'll have you take up potential demand in the coming year, and maybe we'll start with Bill on what you think the supply size might be for corn.
Well, I guess if I'm just looking at it now, maybe I'm just a boring guy, but I'm going to think that we're going to come in here somewhere in that 156, 157 area. So somewhere here, you know, high 13s to right close to that 14 billion bushel crop.
I think from my perspective, I've got harvested acres down 1 to 2 million from what USDA's been carrying. But I think 158 bushel per acre yield on corn is already dialed in. But I think if we drop those harvested acres, we may be at 160 or so on this report, which would be a really high crop, probably close to 14.
And Dan?
I think demand, right now nobody has a whole lot of hope for demand, but we did sell 1 million tons each of new crop corn and soybeans here a week ago. There is no doubt about it that South America is still going to be a competitor on both corn and soybeans for a while. Black Sea is going to be a competitor. But I think the promising aspect in the export picture, it does look like wheat is going to be the kind of hot commodity. It looks like wheat is going to gain on corn, and maybe that could be very helpful over on the feed and residual side of the equation, and maybe this corn demand won't be quite as bad as what everybody's wanting to talk it down as right now.
And speaking of wheat, from the CME Group this week, July futures for 2014 finished at 682. They were up 7.5 cents. December corn was down 12.5 at $4.63¾. It finished the month of July 32 cents lower than the previous month, by the way. August soybeans, a 13.31 settlement price, were down 18¾ cents. November futures lost 47 cents this week, finished at $11.81½. On the monthly chart, Dan, they finished 45¾ cents lower for the month. So they lost as much, actually more, this week than they did in the entire month of July.
Well, there's no doubt about it that we've went into a meltdown here, and it's going to take a while for the overall chart pictures to, you know, work their way out of these big declines that we've seen in the marketplace. But that doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It just means that we're, the market's at a point where it's got to go down and buy some demand. And with the decline that we've had, we have at least gotten closer to some of that demand underneath the market in the world market. The other thing that I'm looking at, I see a bearish divergence formation on your technical indicators on the monthly dollar chart, and it kind of looks to me like the dollar's headed lower. I think we're going to trip down underneath the 80 level, work our way into the mid to upper 70s, and maybe that might help us you know, work our way into the world market a little stronger than what everybody thought we would.
Ellie, what's your assessment of the fundamental picture for soybeans at the moment?
It's all been about meal, and certainly on Friday, the meal market was on the skids. We had about a $30 range in the nearby August meal today. And when the meal market can't hold together, it's pretty difficult for the beans to hold together. We've been talking about China going to release about 3 million metric tons of its domestic holdings, about a third of what they've been holding. That's really old beans, about 2010 crop beans. They want to replace them with new supplies, but that's been really overhanging this market from a fundamental standpoint. I think we've got dialed in a pretty big yield, 44 bushel, somewhere thereabouts, maybe too rich.
Dan keeps talking about demand, and I agree with that. I think that's where really the focus is from the standpoint of corn and beans, is we've got to see that demand come in the market to move it back the other direction. But as far as the supply on beans go, I just think we're going to have some real That's the place we may have some surprises, I guess, is my feeling. I think that when you look at about a bushel, I think one of the privates came out today about a bushel and a half less than the USDA, and that is about a third of our carryout that we're talking about reducing the crop. So I think you're in that 43 to 43 and a half on national yield at this point, but, you know, it's a hard one to guess on the soybeans.
If Congress does not take up the RFS and open it up and try to fix some of the things, do you suppose that soybeans could float both crops or maybe more than that in the coming year, Bill?
Boy, I guess I expected to see a little bit more, you know, from the biodiesel standpoint because of the RFS and that already, and we really haven't seen that as much as I thought we would. But that may be the surprise in the mix, the soybeans could be. But first, we got to see where we're at on the supply before I think the market gets real excited about that.
Bean oil has been the weak sister of the whole deal, so it's kind of hard to think that there's much biodiesel demand there.
Ellen Dearden, of course, is with AgriView, Bill Mayer with Strategic Farm Marketing, and Dan Zwicker with CGB Enterprises. When we come back, we'll talk with Steve Freed. He's in Chicago with ADM Investor Services. This is the August 2nd edition of Commodity Week. Here's your weekend weather forecast. Saturday, sunny skies in the northern part of Illinois with a high of 79 degrees, a low of 57 Saturday near Rockford, north winds then at 5 miles an hour. On Saturday near Springfield in the central part of the state, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will all come before 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy otherwise, a high of 80 degrees in the center part of the state, and then partly cloudy on Saturday evening in 59. And in southern Illinois, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms during the day Saturday. Mostly cloudy and a high of 86. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. Saturday evening. Mostly cloudy and a low of 67. On Sunday, skies will brighten up in southern Illinois. Mostly sunny and 83. Sunday night, cloudy and 65. And partly sunny on Monday to start the work week with an 83-degree high in the southern part of the state. In central Illinois on Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 78. Partly cloudy Sunday night and 59. And sunny skies there as well on Monday with a high of 79 degrees. Monday will show a high of 79 in northern Illinois and to 76 degrees. Should be a beautiful day. Sunday night there, by the way, partly cloudy and a low of 56. And Sunday during the day, mostly sunny with a high of 77 degrees. And that's a look at the weekend weather forecast. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is the August 2 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists include Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. Bill Mayer is with Strategic Farm Marketing. And Ellen Dearden at AgriView. A couple of other numbers. October lean hogs were down 85 cents on the week at $83.95. The live cattle finished $1.37.5 lower at $124.47.5. And Ellen Dearden, the September feeder cattle finished at $157. They were up $1 on the week, and they gained $5 in June, $5 in July, $1 so far in August. Before we get to Steve Freed, is there another $5 in this month for them?
Oh, I don't know if we've got another $5, but we're certainly going to try to test that 158 range, something along that line. The cheaper feed costs, the availability of feed has been very encouraging on the feeder side.
Feeder cattle have been up $12.05 since they bottomed at $144.95. Now, Steve Freed is on the phone line with us to take up his view of the marketplace. He's in Chicago with ADM Investor Services. Steve, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
Tell me about your evaluation of the crop across the United States at the moment.
Well, I think that first of all, it's been an extremely interesting year with the wet spring almost erasing some of the drought last year, and then it's been so cool. I think if we got in a car in Nebraska and drove to Ohio, we would see a really good corn crop. People are talking about record high plant populations, and now we just have to see how the corn crop's going to fill out. And on the beans, I think Dan was talking about how they're late, they're small. I think last week there was some concern about an early freeze. I think the market is discounting that a little bit now, even though it remains cool. And you don't really know what kind of bean crop you're going to get. You know, we did see that private estimate today that was lower than what the USDA's July estimate is. But beans are made in August, and on our farm in Central Illinois, we've had some really good crops that were short. It's just, you know, you need some rains in August to finish the crop properly and things of that nature. So I think the market is taking some of the weather premium out of prices and looking at a normal crop.
Steve, can you address, coming into this August 12th report, USDA resurveyed some states, 14 states, I believe, for on the bean side. How do you feel that that's going to impact the number of bean acres on that report?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of questions on corn acres and bean acres. I think what the market feels is that we probably didn't get some double crop acres planted. I don't know if they'll check those states or not. In some states where they'll be checking, maybe we might have added some bean acres in lieu of corn. Other states, maybe it's down. So, you know, as a market, I think we're looking at somewhere between maybe 500,000 and 600,000 less bean acres. 500,000 or 600,000, maybe more bean acres in some areas, and maybe 500,000 or 600,000 less in the Delta double crop. And so it might be a wash. So I think right now everybody's looking for about the same amount of acres as what the USDA said in July.
I'll just follow up on that, Steve, I guess, with the corn acres. Are you looking at any reduction in corn acres from your firm? Or?
Well, again, these are my thoughts and not those of ADM, and I think what the market is looking for is maybe a little bit lower acres, but a higher yield than what the USDA is using.
Yeah, Steve, when USDA goes in there and resurveys these soybean acres, and they all of a sudden begin to find out that maybe there's less corn there, are they going to adjust their corn number too?
They could. I mean, I think historically they have wanted to wait until they had the crop insurance acres. They feel that's the best numbers, and we either get that in September or October crop report. So you know, I don't know if they really want to make a lot of changes until they see those numbers.
Steve, last year in August on the 20th, when we made our WILL trip south, we stopped in southern Illinois where we had a CGB Enterprises elevator and then an ADM elevator on the Ohio River next to each other. CGB was empty because ADM was shipping northward back to Decatur. How much of that is going to happen this year because of this very short crop last year, and really we've got a long time until harvest now?
Oh gosh, I mean that's a little bit out of my realm of expertise, and I try to watch and see impact on prices. I think that, you know, when we looked at some of these private corn yields that came out today, they were pretty high in the east, but they took them down in the west, and so we might have more corn in the east this year than what we had and last year, and it might be just a little bit less in the west. So last year there was a lot of movement of grain because of the Illinois drought and the aflatoxin and things like that, and we'll just have to see where it needs to go. If it has to go from east to west or just what exactly it has to do. But you know, I don't know, even though we've got some good sales, I don't know what kind of export market have on grain flow.
Steve, at what flat price on corn do you suppose the end user gets pretty interested in buying? And the other question I have is September corn versus December corn. We've learned lost a lot of premium there. Is that going to continue?
Well, I think that from an end user standpoint, you can kind of build it up differently. On the export side, U.S. corn prices are still a premium to the Black Sea and to Brazil. Brazil is actually piling corn on the ground now in their second harvest, more of a logistics situation, but I don't know what price we need to go down to be competitive on that. We'll have to see what margins are on the industrial side. You already talked a little bit about the farmer holding grain, so that might encourage a stronger basis than what we normally would see with a big crop like this. And from a feed standpoint, we're not really adding a lot of animal numbers, so we don't really know exactly the demand and the margins there. I think that what the market in Chicago is thinking that, another 40 or 50 cents lower on the price of these corn, and we would be posting a price to the farmer that might be a little bit below $4. And I think that's where the market thinks it needs to go, not only to show the kind of crop we have, but we also have to, I think, this year send the message globally that we don't need as many acres in 2014 as we got this year. And, you probably have to put prices a little bit lower to make sure that we don't have farmers worldwide plant as many acres next year as they did this year.
It seems like we've been talking about, a 1.5 to 2 billion plus carryout for a long time here now. What other things are out there? Dan had mentioned specifically some of the outside markets and the dollar. Do you see anything that, could be something that we need to be watching for or focusing on that could be a surprise that while we're watching the crop, other things are happening?
Well, before I get to there, as far as the September D's corn spread is concerned, I think that we still have a big long position of the index funds in September corn, and we're going to have to get those out. We did see, like Dan said, an increase in farmer selling. We don't necessarily have a big export market, and I think that the harvest, whenever it starts in the south, will take pressure off. So I think that, you may need some kind of premium in the marketplace just because of the small carryout, but I don't think you need as much premium as we had in it. As far as surprises are concerned, I think that, for the last 10 years, global corn production outside the United States has grown. USDA has estimated a record corn crop, but also it'll be a record corn production outside the United States. It's grown to almost 600 million tons from 400 million tons just 10 years ago. So, it's not just the U.S. crop that could offer pressure to prices this year and maybe even next year. It's that increase in global production. And the same thing in the beans. The USDA is forecasting in 2013 and 14 the biggest year-on-year increase in South American soybean supplies ever. And so we have to try to figure out how we're going to stay competitive with that much supply in South America.
Steve, thanks so much. Steve Fried is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Our thanks also go to Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign, Dan Zwicker of CGB out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review from Morton, Illinois. That wraps up this August 2nd edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.